Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can receive Jesus as our Saviour and light in our lives, and that Jesus leads us to you, our Heavenly Father. This morning we pray by your Holy Spirit that you would enlighten us and that you would give us confidence to trust in Jesus and to live in obedience to his word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at some of the I am sayings of Jesus for a few weeks. So what about this claim of Jesus, I am the light of the world? Well, as we jump into John's Gospel to consider these sayings of Jesus, we must pay careful attention to the context, or we risk losing some of the meaning. These verses here in chapter 8 are a continuation of the scene in chapter 7, where Jesus has been teaching in the temple, in the court of the women, and it was at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I don't know about you with these feasts and things, but I tend to think, well, there's too much going on here for me to kind of get to grips with all the different paraphernalia and things. But, you know, sometimes perhaps we ought to pay more attention. And I believe this is one of those occasions. This is the Feast of the Tabernacles. And following the evening sacrifice on the first day of the feast, the gates of the temple were left open so the public could gather in the court of women and there participate in the lighting of four giant lampstands, each over 21 meters tall. I think most of you are metric, but that's over 70 feet for those of you who aren't. And each lampstand had four golden bowls filled with oil at their tops. I have this picture of these priests in robes, in cassocks and surplices, going up these ladders, because that's the only way you can get to the top, to light these lamps. And The wicks in each of these lamps were made out of their old clothes. So they collected up their worn-out clothing over the year, and they made wicks for these lamps. And the light from the lampstands was so bright that it was said to light up the whole city of Jerusalem. And the lighting ceremony was accompanied with music, singing and dancing that lasted well into the night and probably even into the early morning hours. What is unclear is whether this ritual was performed every day of the festival or whether the lamps were lit on one occasion and they burned through the entire festival. Of course, at the end of the 8 days, the lamps would be extinguished. But before we go on, let's remind ourselves of the prologue of John's Gospel. That's the bit right at the beginning. Let me read to you from John 1, 1 to 5. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. All those gathered in the court of women know that when the lamps are extinguished after 8 days, there will be darkness. So perhaps now we can get an idea of how bold Jesus' words are. As the lamps are extinguished, Jesus proclaims himself as the true light of the people of God, and not only of Israel, but of the whole world, a claim of cosmic significance. These are the words of Jesus in that situation. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. In these last weeks, we've been reminded of the Christmas message that God in Christ, the Word, was made flesh. But though he was in the world did not know him, and his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him. Those who received him believed who he was and is, trusting in him to be the Messiah, that is, their Saviour. The two words are the same, Messiah and Saviour. And these are those who receive the greatest privilege, the right to become children of God. Now, if Jesus is the light of the world, and the one whose light shows us the Father, then he is the only means of finding our way to God the Father. Any other light, however bright you might think it is, will only lead you astray. The claim that Jesus makes in verse 12 is an uncompromising one. He is the light of the world who alone reveals the Father of light. 20 years ago, we first heard talk of the global village as an expression of the impact of the communication revolution. And with this, there were hopes expressed of eliminating communal and international conflict, and hopes among many, and I would say even in the church, of harmonizing all the great religions. You've heard it said, you might even want to say it yourself, surely no one religion can claim unique precedent, or to assert that the Christian path, the claim of Jesus, that no one comes to the Father but through him, is both arrogant and indefensible to 21st century consciousness. The East and the West's confrontation is once again in sharp focus. We see this polarization on the streets of Paris. For humanity to survive, you might think with Einstein that we need a new way of thinking, with that kind of French tolerance that wants to grant equal acceptance to the insights of all, not least in the religious sphere. Is this the gospel of Jesus? What do our schools teach our young people? The world would want to say that all religions have some light to offer. Jesus has some light to offer, but so too does Buddha, the Quran, the Hindu scriptures, and not forgetting, of course, the native religions. Is this what the Bible teaches? Are you going to let your children be taught this at school and not teach them what the Bible teaches at home? While the Christian recognizes the goal, a new creation of equality, beauty, justice, and righteousness, Jesus stands alone because of who he is. The Word was with God and was God and has come into the world. In the person of Jesus alone, God has come into the world and made himself the invisible God known to us. Further on in John's Gospel, we discover that he alone has atoned for our human sin through his death on the cross. Therefore, he alone is the way to God. No other religion can bring us to God. Even the Judaism which Jesus meets here in the temple, the religion with the closest proximity to the Old Testament scriptures and God in them, shows no recognition of the true God in Jesus. Jesus answered the Pharisees, verse 19, "Since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my Father is. If you knew me, you would also know my Father." And a little later on, "But if you don't come to me, you will die in your sin." There is, however, a wonderful invitation inherent in Jesus' claim. That invitation is not based on anything that we might do, other than that professing Jesus is Lord. And that invitation is in verse 12. "If you follow me, whoever you are, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." Jesus is inviting us, follow me, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. To do that, we have to admit our own darkness. Or as John Calvin put it, none will present themselves to Christ to be enlightened, save those who have known both that this world is darkness and they themselves are altogether blind. If we're ready to admit that Jesus Christ stands ready to give the light of salvation to all who believe in him as Saviour and Lord, we will be saved. But if we insist that we know better, we're lost. As Jesus said, you will die in your sin. Faith is just what it says it is. Faith is admitting our failing and inadequacy and stepping into the place of acceptance at the first prompting of our spirit by the Holy Spirit, who in Jesus Christ will lead us to the Father. It's only then that the light will shine in our hearts. So we have to ask ourselves afresh, you know, which way are we walking in? Are we wanting to walk in the way of the world or in the way of Christ? And I think the struggle is as much for us here where we are with the people we work with as it is in the whole church that wants to compromise, wants to be nice to others. And Jesus didn't come to make us nice. He came to transform us completely, to be people who will walk in his light. Shall we be a people who walk in the light of Christ? Will we be prepared to humble ourselves before Jesus, who's King, and who one day is returning when every eye will see him and every knee will bow before him? The question is whether you will bow before him as one who will die in your sin, or bow before him as one of his children.